Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny. Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro, a ministry of Paradise Global Mission. Join us today in our series, Hope in a Time of Crisis, with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guest, we encourage you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. And now, experience The Good Life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. So many people today are overcommitted, exhausted because of work, parenting, taking care of the house, so many other obligations. My wife, Jamie, and I, we have three children. They're all in sports. And often we're so busy, taking them to practices, games, potlucks. And that's just the beginning. Sometimes we get really tired. So how can a couple work out a good marriage when they're emotionally and physically depleted? When it comes to marriage, have you ever wondered, why do people so often give their spouse their emotional scraps? If a couple were to do just one thing today to strengthen their marriage, what should it be? What one trait is most closely linked to the success and failure of marriages? Next week, Friday and Saturday, Hawaiian Islands Ministries is presenting Creating an Intimate Marriage Conference, Building Connection, Intimacy, and Spirituality, featuring Jim Burns. It's at Wailai Baptist Church. And some of the topics included are making your top priorities your priority, communication, connection, and conflict resolution, creative romance, and growing spiritually together. I want to encourage you, register today. You can go ahead and visit online at www.himonline.org. Himonline.org. They're extending their online registration. Or you can also go ahead and call 888-988-9777. Jim Burns is president of Homeward and host of Homeward's radio broadcasts, heard over 800 releases a day around the country. Jim speaks to thousands of people around the world every year. He's a three-time gold medallion award-winning author. He's written books for parents, students, children, youth ministry, and church leaders. Jim has over 1.5 million resources in print in over 20 languages. Some of his resources include The Purity Code, Teaching Your Children Healthy Sexuality, Accepting Nothing Less, God Made Your Body, How God Makes Babies, Confident Parenting, Creating an Intimate Marriage, Devotions to Draw Couples Together, 10 Building Blocks for a Happy Family, The Youth Builder. Jim and his wife Kathy and their daughters Christy, Rebecca, and Heidi live in Southern California. Hey, Jim, welcome to our show.
Hey, Danny, great to be with you. Just listening to you talk, I'm ready to get to Hawaii.
Well, you know, we always love it when you come, and you've been used by the Lord to be a blessing to so many people in these islands, I know, and in other parts of the United States and all over the world, Jim. So it's great to have you with us today.
Well, it's great to be with you. And, you know, a number of years ago, Dan and Pam Chun invited me to come to a hymn conference, and I don't think they knew it, and I didn't definitely know it, but you know what? God really did something in my heart, and my heart is with the people of Hawaii, a very, very special state, and I've long gotten past how beautiful it is there, and I love the people, and I love I love who they are. I love their authenticity, and yet there's a lot of needs when it comes to marriage and family issues, and it is an absolute privilege for me anytime I can to get back there and to spend time with really what I consider my own ohana, because there are so many special people in my life who are in this wonderful state of yours.
Yes, yes. Hey, Jim, you know, since we talk about ohana, we talk about family, you know, in the earlier I was just mentioning about emotional scraps and how so many times we do that. We end up giving our best out, and then we give the very person that God has brought us together, we give them the leftovers.
Right.
So why do people do that?
Well, you know, I think we do that with the people that we love the most. I think we sometimes do that with God. You know, a lot of times, you know, I'll find myself in my own job, in my own work. Boy, I'll be up for anybody who's in front of me, and then I come home, and all I've got is emotional scraps, and that's what I give to Kathy or my daughters. And I'm trying to change that. So one of the questions that I ask myself is, am I giving my family only my emotional scraps? Am I giving my marriage only my emotional scraps? And frankly, I think we need to make that, you know, a top priority. That doesn't mean that we ignore the others, but, you know, why would we want to be surly and so tough on our own family and then go outside of our family, and that's when we're kind and generous? I think we need to kind of switch it around a little bit. Not that we become surly outside, but, you know,
right.
we just, it's a priority, and for many of us, it's exactly what you said. We are overcommitted. We are underconnected. It's this breathless pace in which we live our lives. And unfortunately, some really, really good people have some very poor marriages because they haven't put any time or energy into it. And we need to tweak that. And again, I'm not, when we do this seminar, I'm sure not going to try to make people feel guilty. I'm just going to give them practical ideas on things that really will work. But it does mean sometimes investing time and energy into a marriage. If not, then you become more of a business partnership than this loving relationship that you said you would never be when you first got married, if you know what I mean.
And it's amazing how with busyness our feelings change, or sometimes they just kind of get rubbed out. You know, we're on to the next task.
Well, you know, what I do, and I talk about this in creating an intimate marriage seminars, what I call economize and skim.
Okay.
You know, with my family, I'll just sometimes, you know, kind of economize, I'll kind of skim, I'll pay kind of lip service, just look at them and kind of listen and whatnot, but I'm not giving them my full best. And what I'm trying to do in my life now is go, you know what, more, number one is my relationship with God, number two is my relationship with Kathy, then my children, and then my vocation.
Mm-hmm.
Because and everybody would agree with that as a priority probably, but what we tend to do is get those things kind of confused and mixed up. And sometimes we're, you know, especially, well, anywhere, but in Hawaii, you know, people are struggling with finances. They're working a couple of jobs. They're trying to, exactly what you're saying. I mean, their life is moving their kids from, you know, soccer practice to, you know, whatever the deal is. And they finally get to bed and they're 6 inches apart from each other, and they fall asleep miles apart emotionally because they just don't have it within them. We're gonna have to change some of those priorities, or our marriages will drift, and one day we'll get kind of lost. And it's because we oftentimes neglect the basics.
You know, you've talked about bringing back the awe in marriage. That awe, the awe. What is that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's actually a real personal testimony. You know, in my own life, as I was trying to learn how to communicate, I came from a dysfunctional family. My dad died as a recovering alcoholic, but, you know, I grew up in an alcoholic home, and that meant, you know, communication wasn't all that good. My mom and dad stayed together for 53 years before my mom died, but, you know, I didn't really have those kind of models. And I came across this, for me, I mean, I made this up. I just went, you know what I need to do is give Kathy and my girls as well more affection, warmth, and encouragement. Hmm. And it's pretty much an attitude. It's setting a tone that I can make a decision when I walk in that door from work today. I can make a decision that am I going to give Kathy, you know, a proper amount of affection? And again, Danny, that's not sex per se. I mean, sexuality is a part of it. And we'll sure talk about that in the seminar. Mm-hmm. But am I giving affection to Kathy? You know, the study comes out of UCLA out here that says the average person needs 8 to 10 meaningful touches a day. And I would say there's a lot of marriages that are starved for touch. Mm. So affection, I love yous, you know, those kinds of things. Warmth is setting a tone and an atmosphere. You know, we can choose how we're going to relate. And we could be mad at our spouse because a sinner marries another sinner, and then you have sinnerlings, if you would. And so you're going to bump into each other. But we could be mad, or we can bring warmth to the relationship. And then encouragement. I find that shaming Kathy has never worked, and complaining and criticism. I mean, sometimes you have to take a withdrawal, but even criticisms that is sometimes justified, it doesn't typically work. And so, you know, how can I find ways to affirm Kathy? And, you know, it's doing the little things. It's not the big things. It's doing the little things. And finally, you see in a marriage that if they're not practicing what I call awe, then a lot of times they're drifting. And, you know, it's like on a boat out, even you could have a boat out in front of Waikiki, and all of a sudden, if the boat's drifting, eventually you're going to get out far enough where you're going to get lost. And that happens in a marriage. We drift. And then we look up one day and say, wow, you know, this person's not only not my soulmate, you know, I really am flirting with the danger of having an emotional affair. I'm flirting with the possibility of divorce or whatever it may be. It didn't start out that way. It was because, you know, we just kept drifting. We weren't dealing with some of the basics. It was that great theologian, or at least I think he's a theologian, Vince Lombardi of the Green Bay Packers years ago. You know, he said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. Mm-hmm. And then he said, when you've strayed away from the basics, you've gone a long ways toward defeat. He was talking about sports, of course, but I think some of the basics of marriage, some of the basics of our faith, when we stray away from it, then, you know, what do we have left? We defeat. And so we've got a lot of defeated marriages that don't need to be dealing with defeat. They can actually, you know, be invigorated, and they can reclaim intimacy, and they can reclaim a love that they once had, but it was because they were drifting.
You know, Jim Burns will be at here in Hawaii next week for the Creating an Intimate Marriage Seminar, April 23rd and 24th, there at Wailea Baptist Church. You can hear him live and in person and receive more details, more practical gems to help you in your marriage. This event is put on by Hawaiian Islands Ministries, Dan and Pam Chun. You can go ahead and register today, register right now online, himonline.org, www.himonline.org, or you can go ahead and call 808-988-9777, 988-9777. We're here with Jim Burns. And, you know, Jim, you've spent a lot of your time, your career, you've worked a lot with young people. You're known nationally, worldwide, as a specialist in working with young people. When did the change come where you began to look and notice the need to address marriages?
Well, you know what's funny, Danny, is I just had this question asked yesterday. They said, what do you wake up thinking about? And I said, I actually wake up thinking about kids. And they looked at me kind of funny because I think they actually thought I was going to say about marriages or about parenting, because that's typically what I'm speaking or writing on these days. I said, no, I'm thinking about kids. And I love kids, and I want kids to thrive. And I find that the most effective thing I can do in the years that I have left is try to help build the marriages of the parents of these kids and deal with parenting issues, because that's going to give a much more secure family situation. You know, the Bible says that the man or the woman of integrity walks securely. And I think that if you have a marriage of integrity, now that doesn't mean a perfect marriage, because there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. But if you have a marriage of integrity, you're working on it, then your kids are going to become more secure. So as I got older, shall we say, lost more hair, if it's possible, I started finding that I was helping kids, but I was putting them back into homes that were struggling like crazy. And I thought, no, this is my chance. And, you know, here at Homeward, we have something called family-based youth ministry and partnering with parents. It's kind of a more of a thing that we teach church leaders. And I went, you know what, I'm gonna give my all to this. I do one marriage conference a month. Mm-hmm. And all over the country, and I have just started doing some of these, and they're incredibly powerful, and I think, gosh, I think I'm actually helping kids more by helping their parents than when I was just speaking with kids. You know, I don't know if you had a chance to go, but the HIM conference this year, which was last month, was amazing, and I got kind of goosebumps watching the kids. You know, I didn't speak to the kids this year, but I would watch these kids running around, 1,000 kids running around. I just thought, how incredible. And then I thought to myself, no, what a privilege for me to actually try to help some of these parents deal with parenting issues and deal with marriage issues. And I thought, what a privilege for those kids to have parents who actually care enough to invest the kind of time they did at that particular conference, and some of them are coming to this conference. Because I think when you invest in your marriage, you're investing in your children, you're investing in a generation, you're investing in legacy. So long answer to a simple question, but hey, I still am thinking about kids.
You know, I think... You know, and I was there at the conference. I saw the platform and the foyer teeming with children, teeming with keiki, as we say here in these islands. And it seems like the Lord has given you a much more of a holistic approach in the development and nurture and care and encouragement of youth, and now working with the parents.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the church is doing that, actually, Danny. I think you're seeing the church make a move toward, again, more of this whole holistic way of helping families succeed. And I think it's one of the most positive things that could have happened. When I first started coming to Hawaii, you know, I was speaking to students. We had some amazing student events, actually sponsored by him, you know, again, wonderful. And then at other times, too. And we would train youth workers, but we mainly talked about kids. Today, when we're talking to youth workers or church leaders, we're saying, no, include the family when you possibly can. Now, again, every kid in Hawaii who's going to church doesn't have a parent who's actively involved, so you still need youth ministry, you still need children's ministry. But again, going back to some of the scriptural basics from the Old Testament, we're called to be people who are going to help families succeed, and part of that is influencing the parent. So, I'm really thrilled with what I'm seeing in many, many churches in Hawaii. They're coming alongside parents. They're doing some parent seminars. They're giving parents a chance to be in small groups, learn together. You know, and I know Kathy and I, for 7 years, we were in a couples group, and we could be studying the book of Romans, but we still, when it came to prayer time and share time, we were talking about our family.
Right.
We learned from each other. We kind of raised our kids together, and we look back at that time and that season in our own spiritual development and family development as very, very, very special. And I'm loving the fact that more and more churches are moving toward that. I'm speaking actually this weekend at a church where I'm preaching, and then we're doing a parenting seminar. And this woman, I talked to her today, and she was saying, you know, this is the first parenting seminar we have ever done as a church, but it's not going to be the last. Well, I love that, because they were making the turn toward helping parents succeed, and I think that's where the church needs to be.
You know, we talk about well, I'm sure with your experience where you've been, you see it. But, you know, one of the things in Hawaii, we've got the mixture, the multiracial mixture that exists here. We call it the melting pot, or you know, it's like a chop suey of races that we have here in the islands. And you know, our parents, our grandparents, they come from, you know, there's a generation of people, and maybe it is part of the Asian background from which they come. But, you know, there is a reserve or a reservation in the way that people communicate. Some might even say they don't communicate, which could be some negative patterns, you know, in terms of how we relate with our spouse, and for that matter, how we relate with our kids.
Well, you're exactly right, and one of the thrills for me is the multicultural aspect of Hawaii, but also I think it is a difficulty, because many times you'll have younger kids who aren't relating to their parents because maybe they're speaking a different language. The parents, you know, came to Hawaii to help them get educated and you know, other things, and then now these kids are becoming Americanized in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here they are in America, in Hawaii, but they're also, you know, taking on, you know, more of a more of a secular tone, or some of the bad stuff that was here that wasn't, you know, with wherever they came from. I mean, there, but maybe not as prevalent. And so, sure, you got all kinds of stuff going. And then with the multicultural thing, that applies to marriage. I'm actually going to, for the first time, put a little bit of emphasis on the idea of, if you're going to create an intimate marriage, how do you relate if you're in a multicultural relationship in the marriage? Because it's very different, and we're just beginning to recognize that. I was in Ecuador last week. My daughter is a missionary now in Ecuador, and Kathy and I went down there for a week, and it was wonderful. We actually had a privilege to spend some time speaking to people, and we were aware of the folks who are from the country of Ecuador who are married to somebody from someplace else. It could be, again, in South America, or could even be outside. It could be here in the States. And again, I was so reminded of the fact that there are some other tensions that come along with that. So, you know, I've seen that in Hawaii, and I'm actually spending a little bit of work. I'm going to have to work a little bit on this before, you know, I get to the conference, because I really want to spend a little bit more time so we can discuss that in the conference. The neat thing about this conference, too, by the way, is it's not a real large conference. I mean, I'll do conferences with 1,000 people, and this is not going to be that way. It's going to be smaller and more intimate, and I'm thrilled about that because it'll give us a chance to dialogue. We can go a little bit slower. People can get their needs met. I won't go into another room. I'll stand there, and if people have an issue, you know, it's not like I'm going to do long-term counseling, but I can do some short-term stuff for them. And I think some of the conversations that will take place will be really with some of the multicultural stuff. So I'm checking it out. I'm spending some time, Danny, this next week, you know, reading up on it and getting my thoughts together on that, because I think it's an important thing for the folks of Hawaii, any place, but especially Hawaii. Sure. I'm glad you brought that up.
You know, Jim, my co-host, Carlos Cambry, he's a master sergeant in the United States Army, and we have a very special community of listeners to our program that are, you know, intertwined, very deeply connected to the military. And, you know, Carlos wanted to ask you for some insight on some things.
Right.
Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Carlos, how are you? I looked you up on the website. I don't think I want to arm wrestle you. I think you're going to win.
Nah, don't let the picture fool you. It's good to hear you. I'm really enjoying the conversation that we're having and the information that you're putting out.
Good.
You know, it's a lot of good stuff that you're letting us know right off the bat, so I appreciate that. Here's one thing I do have, though. It happens a lot in families, couples with children, that they put the needs of the kids ahead of their spouses. Is that wrong?
Yeah, I actually call that a child-focused marriage. And, you know, all of us are going to tend to go that way because our kids oftentimes are needier than our spouses, not always. And so we tend to do that, and I actually think it's a mistake, Carlos. I think we've got to be able to walk the fine line. We may even put more time and energy with our kids, but our spouse needs to know that they're a priority. So, for example, tonight is Kathy's and my date night, and, you know, here in California it's already getting toward dinner time, and so we're going out to dinner because it's our date night. And over the years, that date night has said, no, girls, because I have all girls, no girls, Mom and I are going to have our time now, and you know, you're taken care of. You've got food. You've got, you know, a babysitter when they were younger and things like that.
Yeah.
But I think the priority still says that your marriage is the priority. Again, it doesn't mean the amount of time, but it does mean the priority. And when we are nurturing our marriage, I think it's actually going to help the children. I think on the opposite side, a lot of people say, "Gosh, I don't even have a relationship anymore with my spouse because it's all child focused." And I don't think that works for an intimacy in marriage. And I think it's a fine line. We've got to keep working on it because, again, you'll go 2 steps forward and then a step back, 3 steps forward and a step back. Our natural tendency, I think, is to go toward the child focus because they tend to be needier, or sometimes they give us more positive, especially when our kids are younger, not probably teenage, but they give us more positive input than our spouse is. So we'll be drawn that way.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and you described that your own marriage is high maintenance, which
right.
I know I got a high maintenance marriage too. But what has worked and or not worked for you and Kathy in over 30 years of marriage?
Well, you know, Carlos, I think a lot of marriages are high maintenance, and high maintenance just simply means, well, if you had a car that was high maintenance, you got to keep working on it.
Right.
What we have found, like something I'll share in greater detail in the seminar, but Kathy and I have three meetings a week. One meeting is we have a date night, happens to be tonight. Number two, so we do it every day, every week, and when we didn't have a whole lot of money, it might be, we live at the beach, and so it might be walking at our harbor here in Dana Point where I'm at,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, getting a cup of coffee, so it wasn't big-time spending, but sometimes those are better dates, but, you know, we do a date.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, is we have a business meeting where in our high-maintenance deal, we don't do well at 11 o'clock at night talking about insurance and taxes. Of course, here we are on tax day.
Yeah.
We do better if we meet one time a week, and we have a list going. And that happens to be for us Friday morning, 7 o'clock, we go to Starbucks, and we work through our list. And I can't say that that's like the best meeting of the week, because there are times when we have a disagreement on how we're going to spend money, or, you know, this is where we talk about scheduling and calendar. And not Jim speaking, but calendar speaking for, or calendaring, you know, kids stuff or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow we have a big discussion because we're going to have three daughters who are getting their master's degree at the same time, and we have to talk about,
wow,
are we going to put any money into this thing? And we're like, oh, my gosh. I think Kathy and I have a different opinion. I'll let you guys know next week how that works out. But then the other one is a spiritual meeting. Kathy and I have what we call our closer time, and we failed miserably in terms of, you know, having any kind of a real connected spiritual time. I mean, both of us are in, you know, doing ministry things, and Kathy teaches a Bible study, and I'm doing my thing. But we started making a 20-minute commitment a week to notice I didn't say a day, but I said a week.
Mm-hmm.
So once a week, we have a spiritual time. And so that's a practical way of saying, you know, if you add up the hours, it's, you know, an hour and a half for a date night, or maybe 2 hours. It's an hour meeting. You know, it's another, you know, hour meeting, if you would, on the spiritual time, because sometimes it goes longer. But, you know, you're talking 3 hours, say, maybe 3.5 hours. And that has helped our high-maintenance marriage greatly, because we don't necessarily have to, you know, have a big, intense meeting about, you know, insurance at 11 o'clock at night, because we know we're going to do it on Friday. Date night, she knows there's going to be a date. I literally, 2 minutes before I came on the air with you guys, that I made the reservation, so you don't want to tell Kathy that, because I said I'm in charge. So I have a For me, I have a 6 o'clock dinner at a Italian restaurant, and man, I made it right under the wire. But,
well, at least you made it.
That's right.
And you're right, and she will appreciate it. Now, there have been times when I've made that kind of a thing, and then she goes, "I don't really want to go to Italian food. Let's go to, you know, whatever else."
Uh-huh,
well,
uh-huh.
That's fine, but at least then I've made the effort, and I find, right, in making the effort is what she appreciates.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
You know, this has been some great information, especially I know for the military communities where families,
yeah,
struggle so,
right,
so much on top of just a normal marriage,
right,
the separations that,
right,
they have to face. So this is great information that we can take back and help some of these families.
And you're really right. Within the military world, you know, I've had the privilege many times, in fact, oftentimes in your wonderful state, to do training of key chaplains.
Mm.
And what they continue to say is, marriages are struggling oftentimes, and kid things. And, you know, there's the travel, there's the separation. It really is a different thing. It's almost like when we were talking earlier about multicultural. This is a different situation, and I'm just so glad that the military is kind of coming alongside now to help marriages succeed. And I'm seeing this all over the country, and I am so thrilled that, you know, they're putting an effort. I just saw a photo of people creating an intimate marriage. We have a small group booklet with it. All these people in Iraq who are doing a small group on creating an intimate marriage, and they took a picture and sent it to me, all in their mm-hmm. battle fatigues, or whatever you call it. I have this up in my office because it makes me so happy that even these people are away from their parent, or from their you know, they're not there with their married spouse, but they're studying creating an intimate marriage. And I just went, praise God, that's
wow,
a great thing.
That is a great thing.
And those are the kind of things that you invest in now,
yeah,
and they make a big difference. And it sort of works itself out over time as time goes on. Well, you know, Jim, it's really, it's been a real privilege to have you with us today, and I appreciate the time that you spent with us. And there's people are hurting, you know, marriages are in need of help, people are in need of help, and I think you're coming to Hawaii at a great time, a time when the Lord obviously is preparing to use you and all who go to the conference next week. to touch them and to give practical tools that are going to help improve, increase the intimacy of their marriages. So, Jim, thank you so much for being our guest today. I'd love to love it when we have special people like you on the air. So thank you so much, Jim.
Danny Carlos, thanks so much, and I really hope lots of people will sign up and come out to that event. It's a great event, and I'm just so happy that Him is doing this. Anything that Him does is absolutely amazing.
Hey, Jim, have a great date night tonight.
Okay.
Great date night.
Okay. God bless you. Thank you.
Okay, see you guys. Take care. Hello.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Ever hoped God would use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission teams are known for having long-term impact through short-term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities to join a Paradise Global Mission team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. Take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training, make memories that will last a lifetime, touch people for eternity in Jesus' name. Call Stephen at 674-9977. That's 674-9977. A door to your dream is now open.
The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro.
Disney World was the dream of Walt Disney, who died in 1966. In 1971, just before its grand opening in Florida, Mrs. Lily Disney stood at the entrance of Disney World. An executive nearby stated, "It's too bad Walt isn't here to see this." To that, Mrs. Disney said, "Ah, he did see it. That's why it's here." Someone once asked Helen Keller, "What's worse than being blind?" She answered, "Having sight with no vision." You may be able to see with your eyes, but is there vision in your heart? Your vision will keep you on course, especially during tough times. Former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher once said, "You may have to fight a battle more than once to win it." I'm Danny Yamashiro, enriching you with The Good Life.
To receive more inspiration and insights from Danny Yamashiro, visit DannyYamashiro.com. This ad is brought to you by select corporate sponsors who care about you. You're listening to The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. To be part of today's discussion titled Hope in a Time of Crisis, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, and I also have a new co-host. Her name is Leslie Silva. Leslie is not with us today, but we are blessed to have her as our new member of our broadcast team. Mm-hmm. Before we went to break, we had one of the most sought-after speakers when it comes to marriage and family. And as you could tell, Jim Burns, with the way that he articulates things, with the depth and the experience and the way, with that real giftedness that's given by God to make things very simple. You know, Jim Burns is going to be coming next week to do a marriage conference. It's the Creating an Intimate Marriage Conference put on by Hawaiian Islands Ministries, Dan and Pam Chan of Hawaiian Islands Ministries. And they're featuring Jim Burns here at this conference next week. So you know, if you've ever felt like, man, I could sure use a breath of fresh air, I could sure use a shot in the arm, a boost, or maybe I need a complete overhaul because things are not working, well, I want to encourage you, this is a very special moment when you can receive time with the person of the caliber of Jim Burns. It's going to be held next week, April 23rd and 24th, at Wiley Baptist Church. They're in the Wiley area on Friday from 7 to 8:45 and on Saturday 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Go ahead and register today at www.himonline.org. They're extending the online registration just for you, so take advantage of it. If you want to call them, you can call them at 808-988-9777. Jim Burns, the president and founder of Homeward. He hosts a national radio broadcast, speaks to thousands of people around the world every year. And he is an award-winning author of many books, including the book entitled Creating an Intimate Marriage. So make that a point to go be a part of that conference. Go ahead, register today. Now, a program like this would not be possible if it weren't for some very generous sponsors, donors who stand with us, like Dr. Kerry Ishihara, and the generous donations of orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, dentist Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, and Burt's Unikel on School Street. You know, you can see a brand new website, www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can access some of our programs and invite others to join in. And you can always partner with us as well, www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Well, you know, you hear him every week. He might not be in the studio with us, but his voice is heard. His name is heard. He's known in the Christian community as well as the business community in Hawaii. He's a man who comes with many facets, many talents, so much experience. You know, some people, when you talk to them and you hear about them, you feel like they've lived numerous their experiences as though they have lived so long, and yet they're so vibrant and so dynamic. I've traveled with this man, Stephen. I've traveled with him all over the world. We've been in ministry together. We have experienced God's move together. He has a very strong marriage. As we talk about marriage with Jim Burns, he and his wife, Toni, they are a model couple, because it's not that it's just all perfect all the time. You know, you would wonder about genuineness. The beauty of it all is that in the midst of life, they've experienced the blessings of God, and they not only keep it to themselves, they are very open-handed and they share it with others. And I want to welcome a special guest today, Stephen Lathrop Lee, on our show. Stephen, welcome to the Good Life broadcast.
Thank you, Danny and Carlos and Leslie. It's a honor to be on the show with you, even though I'm not there physically, but it's definitely an honor as we serve our Lord Jesus Christ together to minister to others.
You know, Stephen, you and Toni have been a real example to me. I mean, you and I have been ministry partners for a number of years. We go through the ups and the downs together, and I've seen the strength of your bond. That's been a real testimony to Jamie and me. What do you attribute the bond, the closeness, the intimacy that you and your dear wife Toni have? What do you attribute that as where does that come from?
Well, you know, life has a lot of chapters, and I'm definitely one, and as well as I can speak on behalf of my wife. Individually, we've had lots of chapters in our lives, and it was only God Himself who brought us together. And so for whatever reason, God had His plan.
Yeah.
And I think as I look back and reflect back, yes, there's been many turmoils that we've had individually in our lives with different peoples and family and things like that. But as we have drawn together closer because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, with the help of the local church, or with the help of care group or cell group, whatever you want to call it, you know, it's the accountability, not only just towards each other, but, you know, truly to the Word of God, and with the assistance of fellow believers that we fellowship with. And I think that's what's really turned our chapters to a better chapter in our lives.
Hey, you know what, Stephen? Whenever we talk, and when I just watch, you know, we just normal life. You and I see each other so often, but you know, there's always interaction. There's always a connection that you have with people, and I wonder if you know in your life, in your marriage, if there was ever times, because I'm wondering if there are people like that today, whether they might be struggling financially right now, got caught off guard, maybe even with taxes, or work, you know, or things that you just can't prepare for with children, various responsibilities. Have you ever felt like, you know, just kind of going in the proverbial cave and just kind of like hiding out and just kind of disappearing for a while? I wonder, how did you deal with that? Or how has God helped you to work through times like that?
Yeah, and that's an interesting question because, you know, as most people that know me here in Hawaii, unfortunately, I was not raised or born in the state. I wish I could say that, you know, and because of the many contacts that we made here with the people,
yeah,
and with the churches. I wish I had that when I was a child.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I didn't, and I was raised primarily in California, and I was not raised in a Christian home. You know, I didn't come to know the Lord until back in 1970, 71, and that's where my life had changed initially. But my life really didn't take off until we had moved to Hawaii, and that's been over 10 years now. And I think even all the down times that I've experienced, and granted, I've come from a very poor family. I always share this with many friends that said, you know, this is how poor my family has always been. I remember the days when Dad and I've never seen my father because he always worked.
Okay.
There were two jobs, and he's a meat cutter. And I remember him distinctly. He says, you know, in the old days, he would bring home a paycheck of $69 a week. And my mom, miraculously, was shocked for us three children and, you know, my mom and dad. So the family of five, she would buy a whole fryer chicken and cut it up in fourths, and each fourth would be a meal. Hmm. And so, I mean, I look back, and today, I'd probably eat half a chicken, you know, by myself, you know. But, you know, so somehow my mom was able to stretch out everything and be able to say, we always had a meal, no matter what. Your mom and dad always provided it for us, regardless. No matter how poor we were, there was always clothes on our bodies. There was always food on the table. And so we went always within our means. And that's what I've always taken in my life today. In fact, both my wife and I, we live within our means. You know, today we have, you know, I guess in worldly standards, yes, we have nice things compared to many people. But it wasn't just given to us. We worked hard. We you know, whatever God had brought in towards us, we said, okay, this is not ours. It was never ours. And so we need to give back, you know, either directly to God or to ministry work, whatever. And miraculously, God provided many other means.
Stephen, you know, you you live a life of there is a mixture of frugality and generosity and prosperity. God has blessed you with a balance, but it comes from substance. It's not some manufactured thing. Anybody that knows you knows that it just comes from your heart. Stephen, I want you to stay with us. I want you to stay with us because there's more. I know Carlos has some things he wants to ask you too that I think will be very enriching to our listeners because, I think in so many ways, really, we need to have you, we need to talk more, have you on our show more because you're not only a businessman, you're not only in the ministry, but you're in worldwide ministry. And we want to hear more about that. Stephen, just stay with us. And as you're listening to us, think about what God has for you as you listen. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Namelessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Ever hoped God would use you as a missionary, but your life situation didn't allow it? Here's Stephen Lathrop Lee, Executive Director of Jesus Christ is Calling You and Director of JCCY's Paradise Global Mission.
In Paradise Global Mission, we exist to serve churches and Christ followers who are called to the mission field, but cannot commit long term. If you ever wonder, can God use me? The answer is yes. Paradise Global Mission teams are known for having long-term impact through short-term missions. God can and will use you. I invite you to find out more about opportunities to join a Paradise Global Mission team in China, Uganda, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Thailand, and Japan. Take a step of faith today.
Paradise Global Mission specializes in creating unforgettable short-term mission experiences. Receive training, make memories that will last a lifetime, touch people for eternity in Jesus' name. Call Stephen at 674-9977. That's 674-9977. A door to your dream is now open. The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro.
Henry Ford once said, "You can't build a reputation on what you're going to do." Years ago, the Nike Shoe Company used a marketing slogan that worked its way into the fabric of America that stretched from dinner discussions to pregame locker room speeches across the country. Just do it. Good intentions never produced results. There are times when just doing something, even if it seems small, is better than doing nothing at all. A great humanitarian and missionary in China named J. Hudson Taylor once said, "A little thing is a little thing, but a little thing done faithfully becomes a great thing." And Mother Teresa stated, "We can do no great things. We can do small things with great love." Take action. Just do it. I'm Danny Yamashiro, enriching you with The Good Life.
To receive more inspiration and insights from Danny Yamashiro, visit DannyYamashiro.com. This ad is brought to you by select corporate sponsors who care about you. You're listening to The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. To be part of today's discussion titled Hope in a Time of Crisis, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry.
Welcome back to our show. We're here with Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry. Our new co-host, Leslie Silva, is a new member of our broadcast team. And we have our special guest today. We've had Jim Burns on earlier in our show, who's going to be doing a marriage conference next week with creating an intimate marriage with the Hawaiian Islands Ministry. You can go register online at www.himonline.org. And we have with us now, live from one of the neighbor islands, our very own and a dear brother of mine, a dear friend of mine, Stephen Lathrop Lee. Stephen, Carlos had something he wanted to ask you.
You know, Stephen, we heard a lot about just your honesty of where you come from and you know, how life evolved for you, and my question to you is how does that relate to your relationship with God today, being, you know, the things that you went through and where you are in life today, how does that relationship connect?
Appreciate that question, because I know we only have a few minutes here. I guess for me, I had a sort of a second awakening in my relationship with the Lord. As I mentioned, I came to know the Lord back in 1970, and I guess close to about 1986 to probably about 1990, around there, or even maybe even later than that. I had fallen away, well, from the Lord. My relationship was definitely more of a one-sided, and it was more about me and not about him. And I felt that God was away, distant from me. He wasn't listening to me. He wasn't even near, not knowing that. It was just the opposite, that I was more away from God. God was always been there. The Lord Jesus Christ always had loved me, and I never sensed that, you know, as I was going through a particular part of my life, that there were some things and issues that I was going through. And then one day, I picked up a book. Someone actually gave me a book to read, and I read this book, and there was one example, illustration that this writer gave. And it had to do with a $100 bill. And it's not about the money itself, but it was this brand new, crisp $100 bill. And the story was, what value do you see in that? And, of course, in your natural reaction, at least mine, was, well, that's a brand new $100 bill. That's $100, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd be willing to take that, you know. And so the next illustration was, okay, we take a different $100 bill and you, you know, wrap it up, or you put it, rub it in the dirt, and you dirty it up, soil it. You know, what value is that? And I said, well, it was just slightly soiled. That's still $100. That's fine. I'll still be willing to take that. And then the last illustration. Okay, let's see. If you took this $100 bill and you, you know, ran it with all kinds of dirty filth and things that smell of the world that is very detestable. Do you find any value in that? Well, you know, I'm sitting there, okay, that's pretty foul and whatnot, but, you know, it's still a $100 bill, maybe because I'm Chinese, you know, we think it still is a $100 bill. But yeah, there's some value, but yeah, it's weathered, it's beaten, it stinks, you know, would I be willing to take it or not? And being Chinese, I said, yeah, I still take it. And then the writer says, that's how God looks at all of us.
Wow. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. We have made different stages in our life. No matter how desperate or how bad life seems to you, God still finds that value in you. And when I read that, I still have tears. I felt like God saying to me, you're still my son. I still love you. I still have a value. I need you.
Wow.
Will you serve me? And that's the part in my life. I said, wow, all the things I've done in my life to detest, to do anti-Christian, anti-God, yet God's reaching out to me and saying, I still love you, my son.
Hmm. Wow.
And that was the turning point in my life. And coming to Hawaii even solidified, because, you know, meeting the Christian churches here with various different backgrounds, whether you be a Baptist, Nazarene, Calvary, or whatever, the universal language is that God still loves you, no matter where you are in your stage of your life. And listeners out there today, if you feel like you've been beaten up, God still loves you. And that's my message since then, that God loves you. I want to spread that same message to others. No matter where you are in life today, God can still use you, and God still loves you.
You know, it's, I mean, you speak out of your heart, Stephen, and your heart can be felt. And really, what it is God's love can be felt through you. And you know, you're sharing this love of God. God is opening doors for you all over the world, you know. Tell us about what God is doing in other parts of the world through your ministry and the ministry that we're a part of.
You know, like I mentioned before, I'm 100% Chinese. And for some reason, God had been drawing me to go to China. And when I say that, I've had family members, friends who've gone to China, and they've always asked me, you need to go to China. And I've always said, I have no desire. I don't hear God telling me to go or anything. And so I fought it. I fought that thought, that idea for 40-plus years. And to make a long story short, Danny had asked me about going to China with him to visit some missionaries over there. And I tried to think of all kinds of good reasons to get out of it. But you know, coming back, I told Danny, I said, you know, I can't give you an excuse. You know, for some reason, God wants me to go, and I have no idea. So we went, and not knowing what the purpose or the reason why God wanted me to go. And as time went by, God spoke to me right there in China. And a little voice in my heart just said, Stephen, who are these people? And I'm looking around and saying, well, a bunch of Chinese people. And they said, who's my people? And I'm naturally asking, they're, okay, well, it's the Israelites, you know, and those who are followers of Christ. And he says, these are my people too. Will you serve me? And right there, I just sat there, and I was dumbfounded, and I said, who am I, Lord? Who am I? I'm no one. I have no talents. I don't speak Chinese. I can maybe order some Chinese dishes, and that's about the extent of my Chinese language. I said, you know, I'm no one. But God kept on saying, watch me. Serve me, and you will see great things.
You know, Stephen, the Lord has opened up doors for you and continues to do so. And people have been able to experience some of these things with you. I just want to encourage you, if you're listening to Stephen, you're hearing this man, he's just sharing his heart. And what you hear on the radio is the kind of same guy that he is. That's the beauty of it all. And but you can find out more about China. You can find out more about other opportunities. Just go to www.gopgm.org. Stephen, thanks so much for being with us. I'll be in touch with you soon. And God bless you and Tony on your time away. But thank you for being our guest.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you. God bless with y'all.
It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to our guests today, Jim Burns and Stephen Lathrop Lee. Until next week, along with my co-hosts, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva, and our technical producer, Chaz On Tai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
You have been listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro, along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry. We hope you have enjoyed our show and that you have been inspired by our featured guests and their stories of God's hand in their lives. Be sure to join us next week for more stories of hope in a time of crisis. Invite a friend to listen. There's no better time than today to unleash your God-given potential.